The mitzvah to do. Yeah, but it's not mitzvah to do is besides sheva mitzvahs. It's any mitzvah which he wants to take on to do in order to attain perfection, and all the mitzvahs that have to do with perfection. The Marja says sheva mitzvahs, just says mitzvah to do, but it's not a small amount. It's not a small amount. It is very, very comprehensive. Okay. And the whole derech of thinking and the whole derech of Teresh Bal Peh. I mean, Yehadis maintains, Yehadis, the legacy of Yehadis is not just limited to mitzvahs. It includes a whole way of thinking and the whole derech of thinking of Teresh Bal Peh. And that the guy is supposed to. You don't force him, but he's supposed to, if he's on a high level, he's supposed to engage in it and to understand the whole derech hachayim, the whole method of thinking. I mean, that's the biggest legacy. Okay. Yeah, where we left off. So by the Isha, so we finished with the Isha, correct? That was last week. So it's interesting. But we said that both of them have a common denominator. And the common denominator is in the word etzev and itzavon, and in depression, which was to counter the institution or the component of man which was introduced in order that he should overcome the direct effect of the instinctual draw, which is the conscience. So both of them, there's a chazal that really corroborates what we said, that they both serve the same purpose. Because the Gemara says in Pesachim, the Gemara says that Kashim is onosav shel Adam, that for a man to make a living, it is more difficult kiflayim beheirayon beleda, that for a man to make a living is twice as hard as the difficulties that a woman has in childbirth. Why? Because the Gemara says by the woman it says beetzav tel divonim. And by man it says beitzavon, beitzavon. So you see, Chazal are saying the same thing, namely that both are there for the same purpose. But in the woman, with all the difficulties, everything went through, how it's structured to counter her own self involvement with the self. But and it would seem that that is the worst. But Chazal say no, just the opposite. That man is twice as hot. But it says beitzavon. Why? Because it's kashim is on osav shalodam. For a man to make a living, it's twice as hard in terms of the encounter with the itzavon, with the depression, than it is for a woman. Why? What's the difference really? Why is it twice as hard? The answer is when you study the case of the woman. So I mean, you really see like from all sides. The kola of the isha is really it would seem it's complete, couldn't be more complete in terms of the attachment and in terms of the fantasy, everything seems like it's complete, all different ways and biologically and psychologically. But there's one difference though. The difference, why is it for a man, arura adama bavarecha means the curse of parnasa, why is that twice as bad? Because in the woman, it's a passive phenomenon. It's still a passive phenomenon. In other words, all the itzavon is something that happens to her because of her makeup and because of her nature. But in the man, you see, in the man, it's an internal conflict. An internal conflict is always worse, you see. With Adam, Arura Adama Bavurecha, the difficulty of Parnasa is much worse, because the difficulty of parnasa brings a person into an internal struggle, you see, and parnasa becomes a measure of what he is, and once something becomes a measure of what he is, there's always a tremendous internal struggle. You see, it's an interesting thing. I often wonder why people ask about a person. They say, "Who is he?" I say, "Yeah," and what does he do? See, what does he do? Meaning, what does he do for a living? What difference does it make what he does for a living? You want to know about him. What do you care about what he does for a living? But the answer is because what he does is a measure of what he is. You see, that's the way it's perceived. So parnasa is more than just living, you see, just being able to survive. But parnasa is something which takes in the human personality. And it makes a person, it gives a person, it defines the person in terms of what he is. That's the psychological effect of panos. So what is he? He's a physician, he's a plumber, he's a this, he's a that. All these questions that people ask, they're always, when they're asking these questions, little boxes are going on in their mind. And basically what they're doing is, they're pigeonholing the person into a certain box, you see. That's the difference between the Adam and the Isha. So when you study the Isha, you feel that it's so complete in terms of every aspect to counter the drive and the success that she would feel in childbearing and producing a human being, and you see how it's worked out. But yet Chazal say by Adam it's twice as bad, because by Adam it says be'itzavon. And by Isha it says be'etzev. You see, be'itzavon, the extra those extra two letters mean this is a much more difficult, much more painful, much more devastating challenge than the Isha has. The Isha, as bad as it is, she's still just a passive recipient. And it's true, it counters there's depression and it counters the ability to engage in self-aggrandizement. But for man, the challenge is much more difficult. It's an internal conflict. It's an internal conflict. With Parnassa, a person doesn't just have... It's not just a question of making enough money to live. It's a challenge in terms of his identity, in terms of his view of himself. And it's a tremendous, very, very, very difficult, very depressing... The depressing aspect of it is very great. You see, it's a different kind of internal challenge. That's what Chazal say. So the curse of Adam, that was the first curse. Arura Adama Bavurecha. Arura Adama Bavurecha is simply a reference, Chazal take it simply, a reference to the difficulties involved in the Zonos of Shaladam, in Panasa. The difficulties in Panasa. But the difficulties in Panasa is, like I said, as it appears to the human mind. In the human mind, it's not just a question of eating. It's a question of what he is, the whole realm of Parnassa as a psychological entity, not simply the physical need to have enough food to survive. Yes?
So then, is each of them be used in two ways? Because, what I understood from the previous year, the result of success, even by the fact that once it was depressed from the very success, but now we're saying the very struggle itself is tinged with how he evaluates himself all along the way.
That's correct.
So it's both things. It's both. The very, very act of trying, of striving is also tainted with...
It's all part of the same institution. It's all part of the same institution. Then the Pasuk says, the Pasuk continues, V'kotz v'dada tatzmiach loch v'achalta aseis v'asada. So here's an interesting thing. I mean, Rashi learns one way. The question is, what is v'achalta aseis v'asada? So why is that such a curse? So Rashi says what it means is, v'achalta aseis v'asada means there's another dimension. One thing is the curse that he has the whole institution of Mizonos, the institution of Parnassa. But then there's another aspect that was added. And that is, Rashi explains, V'achalta aseis v'asada, he says, what's wrong with aseis v'asada? The Torah uses that as a bracha. Hinei nasati l'chem eskal aseis v'zorea zara. It was a bracha. So why is this a curse? So Rashi says no. He says, because a person plants fields or gardens, and he has vegetables or crops, but what happens is that they don't produce, and he winds up he coats with dadar and esav asada things. In other words, things he eats things that he didn't plan to eat. Things happen, crops fail, but then there's something else grows. So he has to eat things that he didn't really plan. See, that again is something which counters the, which is a painful, depressing element in human life. Namely, even if a person is planning his panasa, many times he plans, and then the plan fails, and even though there is some kind of a bracha, something else works out. That's v'achalta aseis v'asada. But that's a depressing thing. See, it wasn't his plan. His plan was to be successful in this manner. That failed. But God was good to him, and something else came in place. Esav asada, something grew by itself. Things grow naturally that a person can eat. But that's a depressing element. He is not happy. He would be happy if his plan was successful. But when the plan fails, even though something else kicks in, you see, that's a curse. You can't enjoy it. You see, can't enjoy it. Yes, okay, can, all right. But next time that plan will work, you see. That's what that's what engages his mind. So that's the kotz v'dadat, that's miyachloch. Then the last, Chazal take a different window. Chazal take a different course. Chazal say v'chalta seish v'asoda was that originally Adam was supposed to get a break. V'chalta seish v'asoda was a break. What was the break? Not like Rashi says. But the break was that he'd be able to eat almost anything. In other words, a man can't eat grass, he can't eat a lot of things, his digestive system doesn't process it. So originally the curse was that his digestive system can process more, like the animal kingdom can. But when he heard that, so it says, Zolgu ein of demos, he started to cry. Why? He said, I'm going to eat the same food as my donkey? So really, in other words, he was supposed to be lowered. His self-worth and his attraction to self-aggrandizement was supposed to be countered by the fact that he eats like an animal, you see, but he couldn't take it. It says, Zolgoin of Damas, it bothered him. The esteem, his self-esteem, couldn't tolerate it. He had to feel he's higher. So then God said, okay, Bezeyas apecha tocha lechem. You'll eat lechem. You can feel a certain superiority. You see, a certain dignity. When man eats, there's a certain element of dignity attached to it. He doesn't feel like a behemoth. So God says, you can have the dignity. That's bezeyas. You'll be tocha lechem, but it'll be countered by bezeyas apecha. You see, by something else. A different situation arose. And it's true. You have a certain sense of dignity and pride. You don't eat like a behemoth. But in order to counter the danger of the element of man, of the conscience, the superego, so Bezeyas HaPecha was introduced. What is Bezeyas HaPecha? So Bezeyas HaPecha means Bezeyas HaPecha Tocha Lechem Ad Shuvcho L'Adama K'Nimenu L'Kachta. It means that a human being, all his life, is always engaged in striving. And it's a strange thing, but what the Torah is telling you is, and you see it's true in life, that many times a person has an out, because a person has the burden of panasa, that's something which looms before him, but you'll see many, many times in life, people have an out. Something happens, and they're fortunate. But you'll see, they're only fortunate for a while. Pretty soon, they're back into the same enslavement that they were before, you see. Sooner or later, they undo the good moment that was available, you see. And they put themselves back into Bezeyas HaPecha Tocha Lechem. Because the person has a need, you see, has a need to feel that he's striving. And that need is what keeps him engaged. See, that need keeps us. So many times when you see a person, I mean, the classical case, a person wins the lottery. You think, that's it. He has it made now. But you'll see pretty soon he's in another form of self-enslavement. One form or another. Or it could be right back to where it was. But it depends. But that's the nature of man. Bezeyas HaPecha Tocha Lechem. He has an out, but he'll throw away the out very quickly, and he'll be back into the same situation he was before. Either the exact same situation, or a situation which basically is almost, it duplicates what he, on an emotional plane, it duplicates what he had before. That it is very difficult, and actually impossible, for a person to get away from this state of existence. Of Bezeyas HaPecha. So he's fortunate for a while. He thinks he was looking for this, waiting for this all his life, and it may happen. If it does happen, he'll think he's very fortunate, but pretty soon he'll be back to self-enslavement. In Bezeyas HaPecha Tocha Lechem. So the curse is that he has that need to always feel that there's a goal, and he's pursuing the goal, and he's attaining the goal, and he's achieving, and without that, he simply can't. Can't feel, the other option is too devastating. So this counters the drive in man of the element of the conscience and the superego. Yes.
It turns out it's a pretty interesting picture, because the problem is that really the guy just wants to live in reality, right? But he has certain things in him, you know, originally, that would have caused him not to be able to live in reality. So they ended up putting in all these, Hashem added all these features, that you call them curses, that basically are crazy things that are obstacles.
Right.
So he's still not living in reality. Right. The only thing is he just has to overcome these other features. So
in one way or another.
It's like a comic existence.
It's a comic existence. No, you're right.
I mean, a great tragedy.
Exactly. The way the Torah depicts man, it is a crazy tragedy. You're right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's correct.
The logical thing is
that's right. Right. If he gets a break and he gets what he wanted, he's back there. He'll put himself back there. There's no way out. Whatever happens, he's a, yeah, that's right, you're right. It's true. That's right. Who said that? That's Callus. That's what Callus said. Havel Havel. That's it. But the Havel, that's exactly what Callus said. That it is a comic existence, and the truth of the matter is every intelligent person that has lived here has said the same thing. Every truly intelligent person. But there is one thing. There is one thing. See, Kehelis is very good. Because Kehelis says, Tachas HaShemesh. Tachas HaShemesh means in the mundane existence. But the purpose of Adam remains the same purpose that it was on the first moment of his creation, which is that he should be a being that's a Tzelem Elokim that perceives Chochmas HaShem. So with all the contortions and all the changes and all the convolutions that we went through, you see, but the goal, it is all worth it for one reason. Why? Because if it were otherwise, we would never have Chachma, you see. This way, with the struggle and the counterforces and all the complexities of the human psyche, but there's one thing, that it prods a person to look for the one thing which is Chachmas Hashem. That is the purpose. The whole story, that's why anyone that doesn't have that value, you're right. That's right, you're right. The psychologists, what did Freud say before he died? It's a senseless existence. It's a senseless existence. That's correct. The greatest psychologist will say it's totally senseless. There's only one person that will say it's not senseless, and that's the Talmud Chacham. That's the person that sees Chochmas Hashem. I'll say, whatever it is, okay, so I went through this difficulty, this emotional crisis, all the difficulties. But if you truly value Chochma, there is nothing that is too difficult or nothing that can weigh against it. That's what Shlomo Melech says in Mishlei, that it's greater than anything, you can't compare it to anything, and you can't weigh it against anything. It's a qualitatively differentiated phenomenon and value. And those who experience it, you see, you can't say it's not worth it because there's nothing. Kol chafatzecha lo yishvula. You can't. It's not comparable. It's not in the same realm. It's in a completely different realm. So a person that experiences that, a person that is fortunate, that he sees or he learns and he's been able to engage in Chochmas Hashem, then there's no kasha. On the contrary, everything is worth it because that's kol chafatzecha lo yishvula. There's nothing compared to it. You see, that's true. That's the answer. Okay, that's the answer. That's why Chazal say that a person in Am Haaretz, when he gets older, b'shor shehem maskinim, daitan terefes aleha. And ignoramus, the older he gets, the more fretful, nervous he becomes. But Talmid Chachamim is daitan yosheves aleha. On the contrary, they become more relaxed because the world of knowledge unfolds to a greater degree. And that world is a different world. There's nothing that could make that into nothing. That you can't say is senseless. That you can't say is worthless. You see, that's Chochmas Hashem. So that's true. But the Torah tells you all the things that were necessary in the creation of man, in order to have a being that can pursue that. So a lot of things that take place. If he was psychologically attached to the psychological satisfaction, if he were a pure psychologist, he couldn't make it. Because the attraction is too great. And that's why it's false. It's a false hope that psychologists hold out. It's a fraud. A psychologist that will say that you could be psychologically happy, I could help you and redo your psyche, revamp your psyche and make you totally happy, it's a fraud. Cannot be. Impossible. Even the most smoothly functioning psyche is going to have tremendous frustration, intrinsic frustration, and intrinsic depression and dissatisfaction. You cannot, You cannot avoid that. The only course, the only thing that was left to man is what he was created for originally. And that is Chochmas Hashem. And that's something which is a thing that's completely apart. Completely apart. And the moment a person is involved in Chochma, he's in a different world. It's like the Rav one time said, that when I learn, I feel the breath of eternity on my face. So it's a different world, a different kind of a different kind of existence. That's incomparable, you see. But the whole, if it weren't for all the psychological permutations and all the psychological phenomena that man underwent, he would never make it. That's really what the ideas of the Torah are teaching. Sinai, all those ideas only have one goal, so that the Tzelem Elokim could function. That's the only goal of man. The Tzelem Elokim can function. The Tzelem Elokim is not the psychological man. Psychology is a part of it. Physiology is a part of it. A person has to be healthy in order to function, but that's not the goal. The goal is not psychological satisfaction. The goal is metaphysical perception. Yeah.
It is ironic that 99.9%
of... It is ironic. That's the Rambam's kasha. Rambam's kasha, Pirush Mishnayos. That's it. That's the Rambam's kasha.
Before my birth.
That's right. Exactly. That's right. Man is different. That's correct. You're right. That is true. That is true. That is true. That is true. That's the Rambam's kasha. Pirush Mishnayos. He says, why is it that since the whole purpose of man is chachma, it's Tzelem Elokim, and no one can deny it, because when you see, you understand that Tzelem Elokim, this is man, and this is he's tuned into a whole different reality. What the animal world is tuned into is nothing. I mean, it's nonsense. The whole different world unravels. The ideas behind the universe, the chachma, everything. This qualitatively, no one can deny it. But at the same time, human life is such that most people, 99.9% of mankind, does not pursue it. Not only don't they pursue it, they don't even recognize it as a possibility. That's even more amazing to me. I could see a person not pursuing Chachma, but a person not recognizing it as a possibility. You see, that to me, that always amazes me, personally. I say, okay, I say, I don't know. But most people don't even assume that it's even a possibility. That a person assumes that the way he has to relax is to watch television. He doesn't assume it. Maybe the way you have to relax is to think about an idea. Maybe that's more relaxing. But it never occurs to him, you see. It is an amazing thing. It's true. There were certain philosophers that did see it. I mean, there were certain philosophers that recognized that you're making a mistake. You want to enjoy life, you shouldn't be involved in Chachma. So that's not really the philosophy of Yehadas, because he was using it for psychological satisfaction. But even that's a level, at least it's a level of recognition and perception. But most of humanity does not see it. They don't aren't even near it. That's true. It is a strange phenomenon. But nevertheless, real. Yeah. What I want to say is that I just want to finish with this thing. You see, the Torah continues really with the idea of Bitzavon. It takes it up again. Comes back again in the end of the parsha. In the end of the parsha by Noah. It comes up again. You see? Because it says when Lemach by Lemach, Vayichilam Shtam Shonam Asher Vayola Ben Vayikar Shmo Noach Lemach Zeyinachamenu Mimaaseinu Umeitzvon Yadenu. Same word. Min Ha'Adama Asher Eira Ra Hashem. See, so the Torah comes back, makes a reference in the person of Noach to the Itzvon. Interesting thing, but a very important idea. See, what does it mean? So the Das Kain about Teisvus, was quoted a Medrash, that what does it mean? Because it says that he called Noach, they called his name Noach because of the fact, see, he was an inventor. Who was Noach? Noach, you say, Esol Akim, Ish Tzadik Tam Moed Doroso. So the Torah says he's a big Tzadik. So a person thinks of a Tzadik, he thinks of a certain image of a Tzadik in his mind. What was Noach? He was an inventor. He was an inventor, great inventor. He invented the plow. That's what he did. So he invented the plow, probably the greatest invention ever. So min ha'adama asher eira ra'ad Hashem, because what is arura ha'adama? Arura ha'adama means that the earth doesn't produce much. But as I said before, it's not the physical curse of panasa. Panasa is an intellectual. I mean, you have to perceive it intellectually as an entity. You see. So the curse was that the earth didn't produce much. It was hard to plow the land. So Noah invented the plow. The plow is an unbelievable thing. You see, even today in the Amish country, they say it's the most productive country, the most productive land in the country. A horse and plow. Okay? It's an amazing thing. So Noah was the one that invented it. So Chazal say Meshuselah, his grandfather was a big tzaddik. Because he didn't have a name. It would appear from the Torah he didn't have a name until he invented the plow. So why didn't they call him a name as a youngster? What was his original name? So the Medrash says that his grandfather, Meshuselah, was a big tzaddik, and he saw that the door were machashvin. They were prone to mystical nonsense, crazy kishuf. So when a child had a name, they'd make all kinds of mystical things about the name and the this, you know, all these type of things. So, but through doing that, they would draw the child into that kind of a world of unreality and kishuf. You see. So Meshuselah was a big tzaddik, and then a chacham. So he told his son Lamach, he said, "Don't give him a name. Don't give him a name." So apparently they thought he was didn't bother them. A weird kid. Like, I mean, something. Leave him alone. So nobody recognized him. And meantime, his grandfather taught him chachma, and he taught him the Derech Hashem, the true way of life. And you see, the Derech Hashem is Derech of Chachma. So he realized that when the land is cursed, it doesn't mean it's a curse. I mean, of course, whether it gives a curse, and then you have to accept the curse. That's not what it is. It's a certain laws of nature that were established in the Bria. But a person can overcome it. A person is a Chacham. He can be an inventor. He's not bogged down. God didn't want man to be bogged down with it. It's true. He limited his productivity. But at the same time, he gave him a mind to be creative and inventive and to overcome all the difficulties that were set before him. So Noah was that kind of a mentality, because his grandfather saved him from the world of nonsense and kishuf and idolatry. So he used his mind, and he came up with the plow. And he found out that with the, like the Ibn Ezra says, the chachma, he was engaged in the chachma of agriculture. I mean, we don't know that because we're not an agricultural society. But there is tremendous chachma in how you plow the land and the crops and the studying the various, things that grow and how they grow and when and rotations and things. It's a chachma. So he was the Ish Adama. He was the man that used his intelligence, and he found out that you could take a plow and you could plow the land, and instead of producing an amount that by hand you could produce for one family, with one fell swoop you could produce an amount to 100 people. So it's a tremendous discovery. So when they saw that, so he became a very special person, because he was, you see, that's why it says Zei Nachameinu Mimaseinu Umeitzvon Yadeinu Min Adama Asher Erorat Hashem. So they viewed it as an unbelievable thing. That here this thing was cursed, and this individual came along and he broke the curse, you see. And they called him Noah. Zayin achameinu mimaseinu meitzov on yadeinu. Because they were astounded, like he was a total revolutionary. So, and that's why basically he was the one that was the, that people should have, they should have respected him for his chachma, and they were given 120 years to do tshuva, to go to this individual and learn from him. But instead, they made it into another mystical type of thing. God cursed it, and he undid the curse, and they didn't gain his whole derech hachayim and why he was successful in inventing and making recourse to chachma instead of magic and superstition and nonsense. You see, that didn't gain. God cursed it, he undid the curse, and they worked out their own nonsense. But the fact is, what did they say? They said, Zeyin achameinu mimaseinu meitzvon yadeinu. You see? Why? It's an interesting thing. And also, here also lies the idea of why Noach was a tzaddik. You see, what was his tzidkus? The Torah doesn't tell you, but it just tells you this little thing about him. And there is no doubt that in this thing is a revelation of an aspect of his tzidkus, you see? Not just mentioning it. What was it? You see, the thing is like this, that he saw that you can invent something. God didn't really leave us without anything. It's true, he made the situation difficult, And that was necessary because of the laws of psychology. But we have intelligence, and we can move forward, and we can undo a lot of the difficulty. But there's only one, and the moment that was done, you see, so they got very happy. And this is something which is repeated again and again. It means that an advance in technology makes people very excited and very happy. See, that was the first significant advance, and it was a very significant advance. But that was a big difference between plowing and hoeing by hand and producing for one family and just going across a field, I mean, with a plow and producing hundreds of people. Tremendous increase in output. Unbelievable. Production. Unbelievable. So they got very excited. And that's true today also. Whenever there's an advance in technology, there's excitement. People get excited because why do they get excited? Because they think now we're going to get out of our difficulty. So difficulty is the burden of production, and suddenly new technology, and boom, now we can do things so simply, so easily, and increase productivity tenfold, a hundredfold, and have everything we want, you see. So there's a tremendous flow of excitement, you see. In this century especially, you saw that, you see. But with automation, with tremendous automation. But then all of a sudden, there's a counter-depression. See, there's depression. Why is there depression? Because a person makes a mistake. See, the invention and the new technology does get you out of the old problem. Because the old problem was a fixed problem. Let's say the land could produce 10 bushels. Now it can produce 1,000 bushels. So before you were preoccupied with the increase in production, you see, and now suddenly you can do it. So it's tremendous. You're very happy, very excited. But the truth of the matter is, it won't be long before you're back where you started from, like we mentioned before. You see. Noah was an ish tzaddik. His invention, he didn't allow his instinctual life to control him. He used the invention, and he said, before, I was struggling with this amount, and now I have so much more. So he stopped, you see. He stopped. That's it. He was happy and satisfied. The world got very excited, because they thought, now we can do so much more. But then what happened is, when they did more, then they found the more wasn't enough. And then Vayikchu Lahem Noshim Mikol Asher Bacharu, and then the tithes started to increase, and Chomos, And they simply, the instinctual was momentarily they got excited because they thought they're going to have the gratification, but then after a short while they were back into the same instinctual flow they were before, you see. And that was the difference between Noach and between the Dor HaMabul, you see. The difference between Noach and the Dor HaMabul. So the curse of the Adama was not, what Noach showed though was one thing, that the curse of the Adama is not the curse of the Adama. It's the curse in Adam's inability to overcome the curse of the Adama, not in the Adama itself. Yes?
So you're saying that it's because they really didn't recognize what the source of their unhappiness.
That's correct. They didn't recognize what the source was. They didn't recognize this whole dilemma. And also they didn't recognize Noah, because that was a tremendous opportunity. Here's a man that freed you from all your difficulties. So maybe you should find out. Maybe he has something. Why didn't you think of this? Why did he? Maybe it's a result of a whole Derech HaChaim. Maybe you should follow the other aspects of his Derech HaChaim. But instead, they took his invention and they continued in their Derech HaChaim atim molei aretz chamas. And that's what they did with the 120 years that they had at their disposal, you see, to be chozer b'tshuva. But they had a great opportunity to be chozer b'tshuva. And the opportunity came from a sphere which they themselves could easily recognize. Yes?
It's interesting, the paradox or irony that comes out of Noah, he was an inadvertent hastener of man's, the savior of man was an inadvertent hastener of its demise.
That's correct. You're right. That's true. That's true. That's very true. That's very true. Okay. Yeah, the only thing, I just want to mention one more thing about Noah. You see, Noah, it says, because it comes up again, one more time, Vayochel Noah Ishwa Dama, Vayitakar. So as I said, Ibn Ezra says Isha Adama. What does it mean Isha Adama? He says that he was an individual that was engaged in. I don't know his lashon is can't duplicate the lashon of Rishonim. The Ibn Ezra says, "V'yochum." He says like this: "Ish adama yodeya avodas adama, v'hi chachma gedola." Okay, yeah. So that was in a way the Torah mentions the same thing about him. You see, but there it was not to his credit. It's v'yochel Noach. Rashi says v'yochel. V'yochel meaning that he began to plant, but Rashi says v'yochel nasa. He became chulin because he became drunk from the. From the vines, the wine that he produced, you see. So, it's an interesting thing. So, what was Noach, and in what way could we understand him? Here he was a tremendous chacham. His grandfather trained him, and he had the whole Derech Hashem and the Derech Hachayim, and he used his chachma. But nevertheless, and he was a chacham, but nevertheless, you see that there was an incident where he lost himself with the shikros. So the Rashi, beautiful Rashi, he says, Esol Akim is Halach Noach. So Rashi says, Uba Avram Omer Asher is Halachti Lafonov. He says, Avram is Halachti Lafonov. It means he himself walked. Esol Akim is Halach means it implies he needed assistance. Noach Hoyasor Sad Latomcho. Avalavram oyam is chazek umahalech betzitko me elav. You see, so and that's what it means. That's why, no doubt, that's why he failed by the Karen. You see, he failed by the Karen. What does it mean when it says that Noach needed saad? He needed assistance, and Avram didn't need assistance. What's the difference? You see, it's two different personalities. Noach was a tzaddik and he was a chacham. But there is a kind of a person that has the right Derech HaChayim. He has the right Derech HaChayim. And because he has the right Derech HaChayim, so he could be fortunate. Could be fortunate because of that. You see, and he could have Atzlacha. Yashgacha could be helpful for him. But there's one thing. You see, Noach was that way. He was a Chacham, and the Yashgacha helped him. But the help that he got from the Hashgacha, he always needed as a support, as an emotional support, to keep him going. You see, he needed that support. You see, Avram was different. Avram was Holakim Hashem Halachti Lafanav. Whatever fate he suffered didn't make any difference. He didn't need the corroboration of his fate to help him to pursue his Derech HaChayim. See, that's the difference between Saad and Nosa. Saad means Noach was a tremendous tzaddik. But what did he need? He needed the Ashgacha, and the Ashgacha was with him. But the fact that the Ashgacha was with him served as a means of support in his eyes. That was very important to him. He needed that. And therefore he saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him, and that gave him strength. See, that gave him strength. That's not the ultimate perfection. That's a big tzaddik. It's a big tzaddik. But it's not the ultimate perfection. The ultimate perfection is where the person follows the Derech Hashem and doesn't need the effects of the Ashgacha to give him support, you see. He doesn't need that because the Derech itself, is the Emes itself, is the only thing that he needs, you see. And his fate plays no role whatsoever. See, that's what Rashi means by Esol Akim. Esol Akim. Yeah, he was a big tzaddik. And because he was a tzaddik, the Ashgacha was with him. And he knew the Ashgacha was with him. But the fact that the Ashgacha was with him kept him going even more. You see, that was the sad, that was the support that kept him in the Derech HaEmes and the Derech HaYasha. You see, the fact that he knew that the Ashgacha is with him. That's Esol Lekim Tzalach Noach. But Avram was different. Avram was Lekim Hashem Halachti Lefanav. The support he didn't need. Yeah, it's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was good to him. But the goodness that he received did not play a role in influencing him for the good. Didn't need it. It didn't play. You could take well, Vayi Rav Baritz, the same Avram. That's an Asayim. So Noah, because of that, after the Mabul, when the whole world was devastated, so he didn't feel that sad anymore. He felt alone. He felt depressed, and because of that, he Vayochel Noach Ish Adam Vayita Karm. That's why he had that momentary lapse into the shikras. Because the Derech Hashem and the Derech HaEmes was not enough. He needed outside support, you see, from the events that surrounded his life. And and after the marble, he didn't have that. So that's why he fell into depression, and he fell into shikras. Okay, we'll stop it. Okay. Okay, I just wanted to mention the two points about what we mentioned last week with regard to Noach. I said that the tzidkis of Noach was, in the fact, is tied to one of the elements of his greatness is tied to the fact that he was an inventor. I said, how is that so? Because it means that. That he was able to really reap the benefit of the invention, because he didn't get lost in the endless pursuit. Like, he saw that there was really a curse, there was a limitation in how much the earth could produce, and then he came up with the plow, and then the increase was tremendous. I mean, tenfold, twentyfold, whatever. And he was a tzaddik. He was very happy. He was completely satisfied. You see, but the others were in a state of elation, like man always does when something new comes on the scene. Like we see time and time again, that a new invention, new technology. So they became elated. Zeyinachamenu mimasenu meyitzvah yadenu. But they fell back into the same trap after a short while. Momentary satisfaction, and then the big influx of desire and endless pursuit, which was chomos and vayichulam noshim yikol shabachor in every area. The excess, back into the world of the excess and the world of fantasy. So that was the difference. I think also there's an important idea here. That Chazal say, to me it seems it's tied together. Chazal say, La'olam yargiz adam yetzer tov al yetzer hara. That a person should express an anger at the yetzer hara. So yargiz adam. I think with regard to this, I think is the idea can be seen most clearly and most appropriately. And that is that a person, a human being, should have a certain sense of dignity. And the sense of dignity should be such that he should not allow the Yetzer Hara to make a fool out of him. That's an area where anger can be used for a person's own benefit. That if a person sees that the Yetzer Hara, the instinctual world, presents itself to him with the idea of satisfaction if he would have such and such, and then when he reaches it, he's just as dissatisfied as he was before. He should be angry at himself. He shouldn't allow himself to be played as a fool, as a total fool, again and again and again. You see, a person should have a certain. A person should have a certain amount of self-respect that he should not allow the Yetzer Hara to make a fool out of him. You see, to make a total fool out of him. At first, and that's what Chazal say. What do Chazal say? Kach u'mnoso shel Yetzer Hara. Hayom ha-malach ha-say kach, u'machala ha-malach ha-say kach. It means he makes a fool out of the person. Today he tells you that if you just have this, you'll be happy. Then when you get there, The next goal immediately forms, and the next desire as great or sometimes even greater than the previous one. That's a total idiot. That means a person sees that he's stupid. How could he follow the same path again when he just went through this path and it led to frustration? So he has to get out of this. I mean, he sees that this is a stupid thing. He's being fooled. He's being duped. I mean, so that's why Chazal say, "Lo'olam yargiz adam yetzer tov al yetzer hara." That demands a certain type of anger. A person has to get angry at himself and say, "I'm not going to allow this to happen. This is nonsense." Obviously, there's this is a ruse. This is false, and I'm not going to fall into that trap again. You see, that's a chacham. That's a chacham. So, of course, I mean, Yar Gezodim, Yetzer Tov, Yetzer, it can be applied in many different areas, but I think this is especially the kind of an area which lends itself to something that everybody could see is true. Okay. Another thing I wanted to mention with regard to Nayach was the fact that we mentioned about his weakness. So it says that he needed the support. He needed the support. So what does it mean he needed the support? So we explained Avram of Avram. Avram was the true Ohev Hashem. And for Avram, the truth was all that he needed. There couldn't be any greater motivation than the truth. That's it. So for Avram Avinu, the fact that it was Emes, that was it. There's nothing needs to be added, and nothing can take away from that. That was Avram Avinu. But Nayach apparently was weak. You see, he was weak. So he saw the truth, he was moved by the truth, but he needed the support. So we said, what kind of support did he get? What kind of support did he get? So we explained the support that he received was the support from the Ashgacha itself. In other words, that he saw that he's a tzaddik, and a tzaddik has a just reward, and therefore the Ashgacha was with him. And this, the fact that the Ashgacha was with him, was a great source of support. So it was a source of support. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, it would seem. And the only thing is that it manifests a certain weakness and a certain indication that he's on the level below the level of the true man of the true man of Chachma and of Emes that doesn't need any support. I mean, you see, in our system and in the Torah system, Avas Hashem really has nothing to do with Ashgachas Hashem, because the mitzvah do with Ashgachas Hashem, because the mitzvah, the first mitzvah of Leida, sheyesh motzi rishon yediyas Hashem, and the second mitzvah of Avas Hashem has to do with simply the perception of Chochmas Hashem and the draw from Chochma to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It has nothing to do with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things for us or that supplies us with our needs. That's true, but that's nothing nothing to do with the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. So that's true. But interesting is a pasuk in Tehillim. Yes. Apparently was benefiting from the influence of Ashgacha. That seems clear. That he was an individual that the mere fact that he survived is proof, because his opinions were completely diametrically opposed to the whole society. And he was an interesting phenomenon. I mean, they respected him, they had great respect for him, because he was a brilliant man. And, of course, he benefited them with his invention. But at the same time, they were really opposed to him. I mean, they were opposed to him. And the fact that he survived was, no doubt, only due to the Ashgacha. So, he, in his lifetime, he received the benefits of the Ashgacha. There's no question about it. The Torah doesn't have to tell you everything, I mean. But he ain't at a Shem Adirayov. That the it's a pasuk that the Ashgacha is always with the tzaddik. He was certainly a tzaddik, the pasuk says. Now if he's tzaddik, I'm with the rosa. So the Ashgacha was definitely with him. There's no question about that. So he, and that's the fact that the Ashgacha is with him is something which is true of tzaddikim in general, and certainly true of him. But again, it's not something that Avram Avinu was different. He didn't need that. The fact that the Ashgacha was with him didn't play any role in how he served God. So, but interesting is a pasuk in Tehillim. We always say when we say Hallel, Ahavti ki yishma Hashem es kol itachanunoi. It's an interesting thing, huh? Ahavti ki yishma Hashem es kol itachanunoi. So you see that David HaMelech is expressing what it is David HaMelech is expressing. It doesn't mean a hafti esarei Shem. because Yishmas Kol Tachanun, that would be totally erroneous. That's wrong. That's not a level, you say. But it means Ohavti ki Yishmas Hashem is Kol Tachanun. I love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to my tefillah. So why? So what does it mean? Why should he say that, David HaMelech? I mean, what was he saying? Was he saying that he had the weakness of Nayach? I mean, you could argue, look, Nayach was a big tzaddik. That says the David HaMelech was not as great as Avram Avinu. Chazal say Avram Avinu said Nach off of Eifer, and David HaMelech said Vanochet Lasu Eish. So apparently he wasn't on the level of Avram. But it would be strange for David HaMelech to verbalize something which is supposed to be a kind of perfection. I mean, you know, because Tillim is Shira Lashem, and it was given benevuah. So it would be strange to say that this is a weakness. You see, a weakness that it's a chasaron, and that the chasaron is part of Shira. I mean, people have weaknesses, but weaknesses don't go into Shira. So what is the pshat of Hafti Ki Yishmas Hashem Kol Tachanunai? The one that sounds like this, that the you see, the thing is that and this is what a person's attitude towards the Ashgochas Hashem should be. What should a person's attitude be towards the Ashgocha? Okay. So what David HaMelech is saying is like this. Avas Hashem is of course based on Chachmas Hashem, based on Chachmas Hashem and the perfection of the Tzelem Elokim. That's true. But a part of it is the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Noeg Bechesed in Briyosov. That Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That should give a person a certain satisfaction in the perception of the emes. You see, the Chacham has a great love for emes. And the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to a minuscule bus of a dom and his Hanhoga and Briyosov is something that should give a person if he perceives that in the proper way, you see, it should give a person a certain satisfaction. Even though it's true that David HaMelech himself says, "Moenu ish kisis kerenu, uven odom kisif kedenu," that man really is not worthy. If a person were to estimate, he would say that man is not worthy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha. But the fact is, we know that our estimation is wrong. And as strange as it sounds to us, that fact is true. That's Midas Anvesanuso. We perceive that as Midas Anvesanuso, because we can't have a true perception of Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have a true perception, but we have to put it in a certain kind of a framework. But there is a framework that we can appreciate it in. That the Ramam is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in spite of that, he's Noeg Bechesed in Briyosov, and Oni Unechei Ruach, and even the lowest person, he assists. And the knowledge of that reality should give a person a certain satisfaction. That's a hafti ki yishmar Hashem es kol tachanunai. So it's not that David HaMelech is saying that I love that because it gives me strength and I need it in order to serve Hashem. That would be a weakness. So that's a weakness. That a person can be a big tzaddik. I mean, it's a high level. Tzaddik tam lehev d'raisav. So it's a high level for a person to be on that level where he perceives Chochmas Hashem and he's totally in control of all of his emotions, but he derives a certain support from seeing the Ashgacha. You see, that's a high, the Torah itself says that's an extremely high level. I mean, you can't look down upon that. It's a very, very high level. I mean, if Torah says Nechish Tzari Tamalei B'Darosav, that's a tremendous shvach and the Piyag Vura. So it's not a small thing. But nevertheless, it's not Avram Avinu. It's not the ultimate state. But David HaMelech was expressing, David HaMelech was expressing that idea. See, David HaMelech was expressing something else. That the fact that a person is given the knowledge to perceive that in spite of the fact of Moenosh Kisiskereno, which is what a person would say, we know that the fact is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in spite of how far removed he is, he still extends his Ashgacha to all his creatures, and to Adam in specific. And to Adam as an individual also, not just in terms of the Hashgacha Klolius, but as a Yachid, as an individual. And that idea, he says, a hafti, says that idea gave him a sense of satisfaction, great sense of satisfaction. So the David HaMelech is saying that should give a person satisfaction, but there's a difference between the ahafti of the perception of the idea of the Hashgacha, you see, and the need for support. It's a subtle difference. But what I want to point out is that it is not the same thing. Ahafti kishma Hashem eskavachim does not mean that this made me feel good, and that increased my avas Hashem. That's not the pshat. That's a low level. Even Noach was on a higher level. His avas Hashem was based on avas Hashem, but he needed that support emotionally. See, he needed that support to function. He needed that additional support. But David HaMelech is just saying a different idea, and that is that a person should have a certain satisfaction in that perception. Even though it's a strange perception, but we know that that's true through Nevuah, and that perception should give a person a certain enjoyment in the fact that he's given that knowledge of Midas Anvasanusa Shalakar Baruch Hu. The way it appears to him as Midas Anvasanusa, that's a certain kind of a appreciation that a human being should have, that he has that knowledge, and in that knowledge, that's what he was saying. That's what the Ramalach was saying. Okay, yes.
Would that make a difference if he perceives that through himself or through someone else?
It doesn't make any difference, does not make any difference.
Just himself, because that's...
Of course, that's what he saw it. That's what he saw it firsthand. That's correct.
If someone else would be able to perceive it through
his... In a personal way, David HaMelech had a greater knowledge of how it works, because he himself was able to participate and to understand and to see the Ashgacha. Can't see that in somebody else. It's just a fact, you see. But he was really there, able to perceive. That's why he said, it says... Well, what's the pasuk? David Hashem is David Shira Azos. The Shira's David. They say in the after of Azino, the whole Shira about how Kadosh Baruch Hu helped him through all his trials and his tribulations and every single way that he went through, and he saw the Ashgacha directly. That's a certain kind of a thing that you can't. If it happens to somebody else, we just sum it up as a fact. But and that's the idea of Shir Aleyom. I mean, that's the idea of Shir Aleyom means that Klal Yisrael saw Shira. They saw the Hashgachas Hashem. That's a different kind of a thing than witnessing the Hashgacha is different than just knowing the fact of the Hashgacha. So David Melech says similarly. I mean, that's why you have the Shira of David. It's the same kind of a thing. He said he witnessed it himself in his own life. He witnessed the Hashgacha and how the Hashgacha worked. And how when he went off the track, he was nenash, and he was on the track, he received the schar that was appropriate, and he understood the chokhmah of why he received that schar, and the fact that his actions were in line with what the Ashgacha really, set forth for him. That's a whole chokhmah. I mean, it's a whole chokhmah. And witnessing that gave him a satisfaction of the Yedias Hashem. The Yedias Hashem of the Ashgacha should make a person happy. Even though at the same time it's Moenosh Kisiskerenu, but it's not a Tata Desasri. It's not a contradiction. He knows that he has to abandon any kind of ideas of what he thinks, you see. should be the Ashgacha. But the truth of the thing is an amazing, it's an amazing truth. It's B'chomakam Shata Motsi Gedulasa Shalakadosh Baruch Hu Shamata Motsi and Motsi Amas Anusa. That idea, that perception is something that should give a Chacham great satisfaction. Great satisfaction.
There's also something in this passage that you could never know about the other people. It says it's called Hanunai. So that you can
That's
never
correct.
Really know.
It's called Tachnunai. That's correct. That he knew it.
You never know about other people and what they're
That's
really
correct.
Being powerful.
That's correct, yeah. So, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I mean, it is a component of Avas Hashem. It's not the mitzvah's Avas Hashem, but it's a component of Avas Hashem because it's, what is it? I mean, it's Avas Hashem. I mean, there's no other term. I mean, Avas Hashem means it's a Yedias Hashem, and Yedias Hashem always engenders Ava. But it's not the Avas Hashem that the Rambam's talking about in the mitzvah of Haftes of Hashem Lekecha. That's a specific mitzvah that a person has to perceive Avas Hashem through Chachma. That's Shinanta Vayadvar Meila Shnechum Safayim Al Vavah. That's a separate mitzvah. But of course it's Avas Hashem. It has to be Avas Hashem. Okay. One of the